In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama, Charlie Grimes, and the question of the day. By the way, how's Rachel?
Doing good.
Good?
Doing good, yeah.
It's a little hazy out there.
Yeah. I thought we were going to get like huge flakes, but it looks like...
Maybe an inch or so.
Yeah, okay.
Depends on where you're at. Yeah. More south.
I don't mind the big snowfalls.
No,
we
me neither.
It.
We need it. We need moisture.
Let's
take
this.
It all day long. All right. Yesterday's question was the average man, Charlie and I had no idea. I said mirror, I think, yesterday was my answer. The average man uses two of these at home, but the average woman uses four. The answer is pillows.
Pillows.
I only use one.
Really?
Why do you need more than one for?
I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, you put one over your head, put one, you know, between your legs. pillows.
Well,
I mean, no, not
Charlie,
not
you have
thing.
More than one? Charlie has more than one.
More
He's
than
shaking
one.
His head.
I have
a MyPillow.
Do you?
Yes. They're
Good.
The best.
They are the best.
Oh, they're
do
the best.
Do we have someone coming on with MyPillow?
Oh, well, maybe.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
I'm not sure yet. We're
okay.
working on it.
Okay. Yeah. I like that guy.
Mike Lindell. Yeah, he's great. And he's got a great product.
He's fighting the good fight
I
right
liked
now.
His product long before, you know, the election ever came along even.
Before he started speaking
I've had
truth.
A pillow for a long, long time, so yeah.
And you like it.
Oh, it's great. It's the best pillow I've ever owned.
No way.
Oh, I'm not exaggerating. And I'm not saying that because of Mike and the election, all that.
Yeah.
Charlie, how long have I had one? You and I talked about it and had these things probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Does Charlie have a MyPillow?
Yeah, he's the one that got me on one.
Oh, what?
So he got it first and then told me about it, and then I bought one.
No way.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay,
so
tell me why it's so good.
Oh, gosh. it's cool. I know this is going to sound weird. I know I'm a weirdo. Charlie will attest to this.
We all are.
On certain pillows, if I sleep in the particular direction, I'm a side sleeper.
Okay,
so
yeah.
If I sleep for a certain length of time without moving around, my ear will hurt really, really bad from the pillow.
Right.
My pillow doesn't do that.
No way.
Yeah, so if there's anything it does that I love, it's the fact my ear doesn't hurt when I wake up.
Wow.
Yeah, and don't get sweaty. I mean, they're great. It's a great pillow. I'm not joking.
Keeps its shape,
yep.
Charlie said?
Yep.
Machine well.
I throw mine in the wash occasionally. They're great. I'm not saying that because of Mike and all that.
This is quite the promo.
We've had this. Yeah, 10-year guarantee.
Get out of here.
No, don't joke. Charlie and I have had one for at least 4 years, long before Mike came on the scene with Trump and all that. I mean, yeah, I have had
because he was behind the scenes for years.
Right, but I've had a pillow way longer than that. So, yeah, I would have given him a testimonial long ago. Well, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's the best.
A good product.
I think it's the best product made.
He's ventured into other stuff, too.
He's expanded into sheets and all sorts of stuff. But his pillow, I'm not exaggerating, is the best pillow made.
Wow.
Bar none. Yeah, he's dog beds.
Okay.
So dog beds, sheets, blankets.
Like a mattress pillow topper, yeah.
He's got it all.
Yeah.
They've done very well. So congratulations, Mike. And if you want to read his story, there's a biography out there. He does have quite
the story.
It's
such a testimony.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Guy's great. I love the guy. So
it's
I'll support anybody like that I can. But I was doing it long before he became famous with the election and all of that. So yeah, there's the answer.
Good.
Women use four.
Pillows.
Most men just use two. So answer this one today on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. In 2020, the average was 28 of these per month per person, up from 16.9 per month in 2018. Brazilians average about 46. What is this number for?
Okay, the average is 28 of these per person.
Per month per person. So almost one a day, basically. It's up from 16.9 per month in 2018, and Brazilians average about 46. There's ideas here of
Q-tip?
Accidents.
Q-tip?
Oh. Charlie says bananas.
But no, who eats? Somebody eats a banana once a day? Charlie, what's going on back there?
He loves them. I love bananas too, but I don't eat them.
I mean, I like bananas, but I wouldn't do it every day.
So the ideas are accidents of any kind, spam calls, burgers, and so on.
Accidents of any kind.
I don't think it's, most people aren't going to average one accident a day. I think that's really.
Like, we'll spill.
So why
water,
would Brazilians be so much higher than us?
Dropping
something?
Yeah, what? But Brazilians drop things more often.
What would a Brazilian do more of than we don't? I don't know.
One of my sister's best friends is Brazilian. She was out there for a wedding in Brazil.
You should ask her that question.
I should. They love dancing. They love partying.
They do.
Lots of parties, lots of dancing, lots of family.
You wouldn't have 28 parties a month if that's all you'd be doing. Dance once a day, Charlie
Dance
says.
Dance once a day. Hey!
Is that in Jumanji where she's got the gal has the dance powers or whatever? Fighting?
I just watched the old Jumanji.
It's great. I love all of them.
It's such a great movie Robin Williams. I like that one.
Anyways, answer that today on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. We're going to take a quick break, come back, have a long segment. We'll do the Darwin Award winner, which I know Charlie pointed out to me. Actually, the original Darwin Awards I know were for people that actually were so stupid what they did, they died. Oh. So no, this is not the true quote-unquote Darwin Award, but it's our Darwin Award, i.e., you're just dumb as rocks.
Wait, who pointed that out to you? Who said
Charlie.
That? Oh, okay.
The original Darwin Awards, the people died.
Yeah, that's a little morbid, though. I don't think we want to.
So I'm not going
there.
Keep
it light. No. Yeah, keep it happy. Here.
So this is just like the dumbest of dumb award, okay, I guess we could say. So we'll do that. Liberal Lie of the Week as well. Plus, we got a lot more coming your way. So Steve House will join us at 3:30. So don't go anywhere. We'll come right back. This is Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, Affordable Mortgage Mortgage. Kurt Rogers, who I talk to quite a bit, really. We're good friends. We talk back and forth. And he just gives me updates all the time on what's going on in the markets and so on. But if you want just a free consultation on what's going on with the mortgage world, your particular mortgage, maybe you're looking to expand, buy a house, upgrade, downgrade, you name it, Kurt can help you, and he really specializes in self-employed individuals. So give Kurt a call today, 720-895-0500.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, folks, I know this is, I don't want to sound morbid or bad or wish you bad luck, but we know accidents happen. When you're out driving around, I look out right now and the roads are getting wet. They will get icier later. And because of that, things happen. We're going to talk about the Darwin Award in a minute. And guess what? Dummies happen. Things happen. You have accidents. People run into you and so on. Well, if that's you and you're involved in an accident, please go to klzradio.com. Look for a good shop. That is our local collision center. There's three locations to serve you. You can have the car towed directly to a good shop. Even if it's after business hours, all the tow truck drivers know how to handle that, and they will take care of it. So you don't have to take it where the police department, state patrol, or anyone else tells you. You can have it towed to a good shop. So just remember that. It's klzradio.com or call direct 720-541-7697.
As modern vehicles become safer and more technologically complex, collision repairs also become more specialized. You need an auto body shop that looks to the future, investing in the tools and training they need to fix your vehicle properly. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop have earned OE certifications for brand names like Subaru, Ford, and many others, ensuring you get the parts and service recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer. After a collision, you want to get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition, which means you want the original parts from the manufacturer, not aftermarket parts. Al and his team at A Good Shop continue to earn new OE certifications all the time so they can have access to all of the databases and software that come directly from the manufacturer. Your insurance company does not recommend auto body shops based on their certifications. Take control of the quality by choosing a certified auto body shop. Schedule an estimate with a good shop now at klzradio.com/collision.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama, and Charlie Grimes, of course. Real quick, Rachel was commenting during the break about, you know, Texas opening up and, you know, businesses being open, Mississippi and so on. And, yeah, I don't like the way that's always worded. I mean, I get where they're going with this. You know, I will now allow you to have businesses open at 100%.
Yeah. So,
you know, even with that, the liberals are just killing Governor Abbott and others, basically, you know, even Joe Biden saying, you know, you're basically a Neanderthal for thinking that way.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just ridiculous.
What do we have? Dregs of society, deplorable, irredeemable, and now we're Neanderthals.
I mean, like, first of all, we never should have gotten to that point in the first place.
No.
Second of all, here's my feeling on it. If you live there and you don't like the fact that a certain business is open, or you don't like the fact that other people aren't wearing a mask, then deal with it.
Yeah. Or stay home. I'm
I was just going to say, stay home, wear your own mask,
right.
Do whatever, you know, order takeout,
you
know, do whatever it is you think you need to do, but let the rest of the world move on.
Yes.
This has gone far too long as it is.
Yeah, and like I was saying to John, like I think it was Governor Abbott that's like, oh, we're now going to allow businesses to function and at full capacity or something like that. And I kind of like had this nauseous moment. I'm like, oh, thank you for allowing us to now
on the same token,
earn a living.
I don't know what else he's going to say. I mean, the problem is we never should have
allowed government to
have done that in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
We've given all these governors of these states far too much power.
Right.
Which I don't know now how you ever reel that back. Now that this...
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
like now
that this
we've
monkey's
done it.
Out,
right.
I don't know how you ever get it back in.
Right. What we should have done, because at first it was kind of scary. We didn't know what we were dealing with. It was like, oh my gosh. It would have been like, hey, if you're scared or concerned, and I was a little concerned at first, then I would have just freely, on my own will, stayed home until I figured out what was going on.
Yeah, you just deal with it.
But, yeah. But the fact that we allow them to tell us what we can and cannot do, like
so,
we
open
the Pandora's
box. To the point
the
where
Pandora's
certain
box.
States, you know, there's been arrests made and... You know, things along those lines. And folks, I don't know if you guys really comprehend what I just said, but there have been places where people have been arrested for violating a quote-unquote COVID order,
mandate,
COVID mandate.
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yes.
I mean, I was explaining it this way the other day. So you're in jail for violating a COVID quarantine,
which,
by the way, can happen in multiple states, including Hawaii.
So nuts.
So you're in the big house. What are you in here for?
I
killed someone. Well, what are you in here for? Well, you know, I violated COVID.
Yeah, but see, the lefty liberals would be like, but you could kill someone if you violate that. You could, you're trying to kill grandma.
Well, you're not.
No.
It's not the same. Sorry, folks.
I know.
It is not the same. The hardened criminal that you're sitting next to in the clink, it's just not the same.
It's
sorry.
It's not the same.
You know, what are you in there? Well, I raped and pillaged, or I was a pedophile, or I did this, right? What are you in here for? Oh, I violated COVID.
Right. Anytime you get in your car, you could accidentally kill someone.
Right.
So, I mean, what are we just not to do anything that puts us anybody at risk?
According to the left, yes.
Ugh.
You already know that answer.
But that's crazy. That's not.
But that's their thought. You already know that.
So then if you are a true leftist, liberal, progressive, then you should just never do anything and stay in your home because you're putting someone at risk.
Whoa. No, Rachel, that's not how they think. They just want you to stay home.
Yeah, see, it's all about control.
Correct.
It comes back to control,
correct.
John,
it's not about your safety.
Exactly.
It's they want you to stay home.
Yes, it's about control.
Therein lies the issue.
Right.
You got to think like a liberal.
I know.
It's okay for me to do it, but you can't.
I know. We see that with everything.
Yeah. And guys, what I just said, I'm not being, you know, funny. That's a true statement, what I just said.
Oh,
that's how the left sees things.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Darwin Award winner. And yes, I know this person didn't die because this is actually a state.
Oh.
That's why this Darwin Award winner, you know, we don't want a state to die or anything along those lines. But not being satisfied with the rate that businesses, jobs, and residents are fleeing the state... The New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection is considering declaring thousands of square miles of New Jersey land as being included in a floodplain designation because waters may rise due to climate change, quote unquote. And by the way, if they do this, if they actually put these businesses into floodplains, flood insurance would then have to be purchased. This becomes very expensive.
Right.
And again, this has got to be one of the dumbest things.
This will make more people flee your state.
Exactly, Rachel. That's why this is the Darwin Award winner
right.
of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, you are absolutely an utter moron to say that we're going to now put into play floodplains based upon a 5-foot sea level rise, which, by the way, folks, is never going to happen.
No.
Sorry, it's not happening.
No. If it was going to happen, then the Obamas wouldn't be buying oceanfront property in Martha's Vineyard. Okay, if they really thought that, they really did. No, if they really thought that, right? So you gotta look at these people that say, oh yeah, this is if the world's really gonna end in 9 years, like John Kerry says, then he wouldn't be flying around in his private jet.
No, keep in mind, back in 2009, Al Gore predicted that the streets of New York City would be underwater by 2015.
Oh, okay,
that was 6 years ago.
We should go down to
New York City.
Last
I checked, it probably hasn't had an inch of water rise.
No.
I mean, come on, folks. At some point, some common sense has to set in and call these people for what they are, utter morons.
Right. And these big banks giving out loans for people buying oceanfront property. You wouldn't do that.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that if they believe this. So it's a bunch of nonsense. So, all right, liberal lie of the week. This is the Warren wealth tax, by the way, the Elizabeth Warren wealth tax, I should say. It claims, by the way, that it would raise $114 billion in revenue from billionaires.
Oh.
So.
This is Warren.
This is Elizabeth
She's
Warren.
She's always going after
American
money.
Billionaires would owe a total of about $114 billion in wealth tax for 2020 if the Ultra-Millionaire Tax Act introduced today by Elizabeth Warren, Representative Pramila Jayapal.
Jayapal,
there we go. And Brendan Boyle had been in effect last year based upon the Forbes billionaire wealth data analyzed by Americans for Tax Fairness. By the way, where I got this was from an actual press release from the Americans for Tax Fairness, which, by the way, I replied to them with no response. And here's what I told them when I replied. You guys need to get your data and your facts straight, because what they're doing is they're basing this wealth tax upon the net worth of billionaires. Keep in mind, net worth does not mean net income.
No,
there's a huge difference between those two. So for those of you that maybe don't know the difference, let me explain. Net worth, and we'll just use Rachel as an example. So let's say Rachel has $1 million house.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And a second home that's worth $1 million.
That
so that's
good.
$2 million. But let's say that Rachel borrowed money to do those.
Okay.
So let's say Rachel owns $1 million house and $1 million condo somewhere on a beach, but she has $800,000 of mortgage on each.
Okay. Wow.
So now,
even though Rachel
looks like she's a two millionaire, if
right.
you would. She's actually only at that point has a net worth of $400,000. Now, the way the left would look at this is they would say, well, if Rachel's net worth is $400,000, then we need to tax her on that $400K of X.
Right.
Keep in mind, Rachel doesn't have $400K in the bank.
No.
She actually owes $1.6 million on $2 million worth of property.
Okay, yeah.
So that's the difference between net income versus net worth. Net income is what you actually take home, put in the bank, receive in business income, and the like.
Right.
If you're Jeff Bezos, and all of a sudden Amazon stock goes up by $20 and it increases your net worth by $1 billion, let's say, you didn't take $1 billion to the bank.
No.
So how in the world could you possibly tax Jeff Bezos on something he's not received
have.
Any income
right.
on? He doesn't have it.
No.
Yes, it's in his portfolio. It goes to his net worth,
right.
but it's not net cash.
Like when he closes out the books, he's not going to have that kind
Correct.
Of money.
Right. Now, this particular wealth tax would assume that Bezos and all of these billionaires have this money in the bank, when in fact they don't. So again, folks, this is the ultimate liberal lie of the week. When you see anybody on the street telling you that if we just tax the billionaires, we'll be a lot better off as a country. Well, number one, that's not true because of what I just said. Number two, do you think these guys got there because they're dumb?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, this is the thing. I bet you, I could bet you right now that Warren and Jayapal, Jayapal. I bet you that both of these women have no background in any kind of business acumen whatsoever. Because I'll tell you, John, I've learned so much just recently having my own small business and using people and contracting people out for work and doing all that and using 1099s and W-9s
right.
and doing all.
Right.
I have learned so much just doing that myself that I would not be dumb enough to,
right.
to write something
well, and
like
so
this.
There's an example in this particular press release that says some examples from the top of the list. Jeff Bezos would pay $5.7 billion in wealth tax for 2020, lowering the size of his fortune from $191 billion to $185 billion, or 5% roughly. Again, folks, let me remind everybody, Jeff Bezos doesn't have $191 billion in the bank.
Right.
In fact, if something happened with Amazon tomorrow and all of a sudden the stock gets cut in half, guess what his net worth does? It goes into half as well.
Yeah.
So anytime there's a liberal out there telling you that, well, we just need to tax the rich, have them explain what that actually means, because most of the time they don't have any idea what they're talking about. Yeah. Let's just tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. How? And tell me how that's actually going to work. Because again, if you think the rich got there because they're dumb, you're crazy. Because what I'm getting at is all of these billionaires, whether they're on the left or the right, which, by the way, some of these guys are, Jeff Bezos being one of them, if they thought for one second they were going to take heavy tax hits in the U.S., what do you think they're going to do next?
They're not going to stay in the U.S.
Thank you, Rachel.
Right?
They'll go somewhere else.
And this is another thing that I don't like, is there's this huge hatred and vilification for corporations, right? But corporations are people. Like, it's made of people. It you can't have a corporation without people in the corporation.
Right.
Like, so you're impacting all the people in that corporation that you're going after. And corporations are job providers.
There's a quote in the show Billions that I'm going to pull out and have Charlie put into our intro here as we start to redo some things. And there's a great quote that Axelrod in that particular at Axe Cap actually says. He's being interviewed by someone and he basically said, since when in the United States of America did making money become a crime?
Right.
Since when did the American dream of becoming wealthy, you know, working hard, doing everything that it takes to get to the top, when in America did that become a sin?
Envy, because we've allowed envy to supersede our any kind of motivation for anybody else. So I think it's jealousy and envy. Oh, they have something I desire, I want. And so it's like, instead of going out and getting it yourself, an envy and jealousy takes place in your heart and they become like the enemy.
This article continues to say skyrocketing billionaire wealth in the midst of a health and economic crisis. By the way, that's a man-made, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that was a China-made health and economic crisis, by the way. And as a country, we did not have to follow suit with this. This is our own doing. But it's weighing down millions of Americans. It's one of the best reasons for enacting the Ultra-Millionaire Tax Act, said Frank Clementi, Executive Director of Americans for Tax Fairness. Again, I sent Frank and his cohorts an email asking them to explain to me how their math works. I got no response.
Of course not.
Of course I didn't, because they don't have one.
No.
Because I don't think these folks even understand basic math.
Yeah. No, it's just hate the rich until... what is it? Gosh, who's the Prime Minister of... I'm totally losing...
Of England?
Well,
Boris?
No, she was way back.
Queen Elizabeth?
No,
who?
She was amazing. Oh gosh. What is it? I'm totally drawing a blank.
Yeah, Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, you know, the problem with socialism is that you eventually run out of
other people's money.
And this is, it's like they can't put two and two together. You tax these people, they're either going to leave the country or going to complete tax the crap out of them until they have nothing left.
That's right. So again, for all of you listening, and I know a lot of you understand this, but there's some of you that are even on the left that don't understand this, because I get text messages from you. Explain to me how taxing people that don't even have the net worth, or that don't have the net income that coincides with their net worth, tell me how that's actually going to work. In other words, if we decide that we're going to all of a sudden tax Jeff Bezos, you know, the tune of $5 billion, where's the $5 billion in cash come from? Because most likely he doesn't have that cash. We want him to cash in stock. I mean, how are we going to actually make this happen?
And then that impacts other people.
Yes, it does.
So,
yeah, by the way, that affects other tax.
Yeah.
It affects other stockholders of Amazon is what that does. So let's talk to Dan real quick in Blackhawk. He's a tax expert. We'll talk to him. Dan, welcome. What's going on, sir?
Not much. How are you doing?
Good, sir.
Interesting subject.
Very.
So, yeah, so Bezos, if they want to charge Bezos or whoever he is, he's going to have to sell stock in order to pay that tax, but then he's going to have to pay tax on the sale of the stock.
Right.
So he's paying tax upon tax in order to pay tax. Mm. Does that make sense?
No.
Yes. Yeah.
It
no.
It
yeah. No.
Make
I understand.
Sense.
Yeah. No. It doesn't make you. What you just said makes sense, but no, it doesn't make sense in principle. No.
Right.
And the thing that irritates me to know him, and it started under Obama, is remember it was $250,000. So now, if you make more than $250,000, they're taxing you additional Medicare tax, and it just irritates me to no end. that we're doing that just because somebody makes $250,000 a year. And
Well, and real quick, Dan, for all those listening, because I you can probably do as good a job of explaining this as anyone. If Jeff Bezos had to go round up, let's say, $10 billion to go pay these quote-unquote wealth taxes, and he has to go sell off X amount of stock to do so, what does that do to the overall market price of Amazon stock and the rest of the people that hold it?
It's going to drop it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Because it's like it's being dumped, and then there's a lot of people that, institutional investors and the like, they see their stock dropping in price.
And they can, and by the way, there's actually automatic algorithms, Dan, that would even kick in where some of these guys aren't even saying sell. The computer just basically says, okay, we saw this dip, sell.
It's so stupid because I talk to people at work who are in the stock market, and they're buying stock based off of, it has nothing to do with the financial
of the company.
Of a company.
That's right.
And it's totally stupid because it's like, it's you might as well go up where I work most of the time, Blackhawk, and put your money in a slot machine.
Exactly.
You know, because it's just a gamble. Now, you can make more money at that gamble, but a smart investor is going to analyze the financial statements if they know how to read a financial statement.
That's right.
There's ratios and everything that's using that. And most investors or most people that play the stock market don't have a clue.
Well, and the point was well taken, Dan, when it came to GameStop, and I realized that a lot of these, you know, day traders got together and they were just trying to stick it to the venture capitalists and the hedge fund guys. I understand that. I get that. The reality is, though, the reality there was, believe it or not, for those of you that are out there listening, and you may disagree with me on this, but the hedge funds actually had it right. That company was basically on paper broke. They had it correct.
Right.
The only thing that propped it up were all these day traders.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
They came up with a plan, and they took the man down, really.
And then another point that I wanted to make is, let's say you guys are talking about envy and everything. So let's just distribute the wealth evenly between everybody in this country.
Okay.
And I guarantee you that the Bezos and the I got a woman that's like learning nothing out here.
Oh my!
It's raining. Sorry. I'm like, what the heck are you doing? Sorry, distraction, squirrel. So
that's all right.
Anyways, so if we let's just say we evenly distribute the wealth to everybody in the United States, do you think it would take a year before the Bezos of the country would accumulate that wealth again?
Yes, and they would do it in ways where they wouldn't fit back into what just happened to them because, again, I said earlier, these guys aren't dumb. They didn't get there by being dumb. They're very, very smart. They pay a lot of people around them to be very smart like yourself, Dan, and the reality is, no. In fact, I will tell you right now, these guys wouldn't even take the initial hit.
Right. Well, it's like standing there getting punched in the stomach. Were you going to keep standing there? No, you're going to walk away. They're going to move.
Well, and I'll tell you one step further. These guys are smart enough to not even take the first punch.
Yeah.
They would move when the swing first came. Mm-hmm. They're not even going to take the punch because they're smart enough to avoid that. Right, Dan?
Yeah, and people get upset. And like you said, Rachel, you know, where did it become a sin in this country in order to accumulate the wealth that we have? And that is what our country is built
on. And by the way, the answer to that, Dan, even biblically speaking, never in the history of mankind going all the way back to the beginning of time has it been a sin to accumulate wealth. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is. It's the love of money and what's ruling your heart.
Right.
Just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you worship it. And by the way, most people that have it don't.
Right.
Well, it's the root of all kinds of evil. But anyways, I look at a lot of people and formulating how I'm actually going to be rebranding my business. And this is a passion that I have. I see people and things that I know about financially that a lot of people don't understand. They struggle financially because they don't have the knowledge in order to understand what they're doing. Like at church, of course, we use Dave Ramsey.
Right.
One of the guys in our Bible study came and says, And I know you know this because are you still advertising Paul Lindbergh or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah. So he told me one Sunday at Bible study, he goes, you know,
I'm going to do an umbrella policy, and then I can carry minimums on everything else. And I'm like, I've known this for over 20 years.
Right.
And this was a revelation to him.
Right. And by the way, Dan, there's lots and lots of little things that, to your point, folks just either don't know, never have been trained, never have been taught, don't understand.
Yeah.
There's this old saying that, you know, really the best way to try to make money is to find an instrument, find something that's working for you 24/7, whether that be a stock, whether that be a business, whether it be anything. Try to find something that's constantly making money even while you're sleeping. And by the way, Dan, that's a concept that most people don't understand or know about.
Yeah, I think and part of my rebranding, what I want to start reaching out, and I don't know how about doing this. I want to start reaching out to high school students, and this would be more of a charity or a community service. But a lot of them say they wish they would have been taught financial.
Right.
And I've got, there's a great book that I need to recommend, like on my website once I get it redone. But it's called The College Debt Trap.
Yep.
And it goes through a lot.
We've actually interviewed that author before. That's a great book.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I got to recommend that because a lot of, you know, the liberals have set it up to where everybody, you think you have to go to college to make it in life. And
you
I know
don't.
That Extreme Auto, I think they're still doing it. Aren't they taking in kids to teach them?
Oh, yes,
the
always. And by the way, the majority of folks that I know in the automotive world, Dan, are doing that. Not just them, but lots of folks do that. Yes.
But they can't get anybody in the trade.
Nope, they can't get them
there.
I talked
to some tradesmen
one
time. I think I was at a Wendy's, and I was talking to them. And they even offered, like, they can't get the kids to sign up for the trades. And granted that the potential when you go to college, you can make more money over the long haul. But
not necessarily.
Right.
It depends.
But the trades are lacking on, and not just for males, but females can get in it too, because that's been eliminated.
Agree.
And they can make money right out of high school, making, you know, 40, 50 bucks an hour once they learn.
I can tell you real quick, just in the automotive industry, whether you're a technician or a good service advisor, shop foreman, I mean, I go down the list. So, you know, anybody that has any kind of a net worth to the business, what I mean is they're bringing value and business in to the business. It is not uncommon in the automotive world as a service advisor to make anywhere from 60 to 100 grand, depending upon the shop that you're in or the dealership that you're in. And as technicians, nothing. It's, again, not hard to make 80 to 100 100 plus K a year. It's definitely very easy to do if you apply yourself, if you're good, if you're smart. And we all know sales jobs across the board, not just in the automotive world, but typically, Dan, sales jobs always pay the highest. They always have, and they always will.
Yeah, and then on top of that, let's go back to a conversation I had with you and Andy a couple of weeks ago about the education. So if you get, let's just say I'm being traditional here, a husband who's making $100,000 a year, if they know how to financially handle it, then the wife can stay home,
yes,
raise the kids, be involved with the kids,
yes,
instill the values that they have into those kids, and not send them to public education.
Very true. Yes. Dan, I got to leave you at that. We're behind on breaks. Very well said, though, and we'll get you back on. And email me about some of that other stuff. I've got some ideas as well on how we could do some of that, because that's a really big need. Michael Bailey, Law, Mobile Estate Planning. Speaking of planning for the future, financially speaking, estate planning, Michael will help you with that. 720-394-6887.
KLZ's mobile estate planner knows how to protect your savings from healthcare costs, but you want to plan ahead. You worry about what might happen to your savings should you or your spouse need long-term care. Medicaid could ask you to spend down your assets, draining your accounts. You will feel so much better knowing that you have planned ahead to preserve your assets. Finishing your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law feels like such a relief. Ask Michael Bailey about setting up an asset protection trust. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
All right, March 20th. It's now becoming, it's 320. It's now becoming the new 420 because we're going to smoke meat that day,
yes.
Not marijuana.
Yes, we are. I talked to my mom this morning. She's like, I'm going to get the biggest steaks I can find.
Well, go to Barber's Foods. That's where they're going to be, folks. And Greg, by the way, is on board with this as well. We are going to do our best to make sure that everybody that at least I know is eating meat, some kind of meat that day.
Yes.
And we're not going to do the no meat thing that Governor Polis wants. We're going the opposite.
Yes.
In fact, so far, he's become the biggest meat salesman in Colorado history, probably.
Yeah, I might have to roll out my grill onto
the driveway
just so everyone can see
Perfect.
Me publicly.
Anyways, fill that grill up. Get the meat from Barber's Foods. Talk to Greg and the guys. They'd love to help you. And don't forget about the ambassador program they have as well. It's Barber's with an S, barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been selling only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free, and natural food products in Colorado for over 70 years. Their mission is to provide only the best food found in the marketplace from family farms they know personally. Right now, click on March Madness Specials at the top of barbersfoods.com to find these specials and more. Barber's Farms, ground beef, made in Colorado, from Colorado raised beef in 1-pound packages, only $2.99 a pound. Thunder's Catch Alaskan Salmon, whole fillets on sale in March for only $12.49 a pound. And pre-order your Beeler's Duroc non-GMO spiral ham before Easter. Don't spend $100 or more for a spiral ham from a retail outlet. Buy wholesale and get a better ham at a better price from a family farm that Barber's Foods knows personally. Place your order today at barbersfoods.com.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Censorship is one of the biggest threats to America today. Big tech, big media, and big education indoctrination industrial complexes understand that if people know the truth, people will reject the false narratives of these oligarchies. Kim Munson here. Friday, Josh Phillip, host of Crossroads and author at the Epic Times, weighs in on censorship. Helen Jean Mitchell will be in studio to co-host the show, and Hal Van Herkey updates us on the latest happenings at Castlegate Knife and Tool. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Tired of the corporate rat race? Time to retire? Call Chris Cantwell at Transworld Business Advisors to buy or sell your business. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, Steve House joining us now. And Steve, we were just talking about the 320 now, which is going to become the new 420 in the state.
Yeah, you know, I've been listening to you guys for about the last 15 or 20 minutes, and I've got a really important question to ask, which is, you know, when you're listening to the radio, sometimes it gets a little staticky. Mm-hmm. So is it true that Jeff Bezos bought Rachel Keene $2 million houses?
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes, he did.
Yeah, we're close. I had a problem with Bezos. Now I don't. Totally fine.
Well,
if that is true,
then Rachel, you must not have a grill you can roll into your driveway because you don't have those $1 million houses.
That's true.
Good point.
That's true.
Well said.
I need to change my
Good
image.
Good point, Steve.
You're
yes.
right.
That baby's built in when you have that kind of deal going
true.
On. Good point. That's funny.
You know, I just saw that early trading tomorrow, there's a run on Amazon stock as you guys started a rumor that Bezos was going to have to sell out $5 billion
for
it. Going up, is it? All right.
Nuts.
I mean, Steve, really, though, I mean, in all seriousness, these folks really, when they start talking about these things, they're talking out of the side of their mouth. They're using numbers that aren't accurate. Mm-hmm. Their figures are totally inaccurate. They're not even close to being right. And yet that's what they go and try to sell a bill of goods to the American public.
I don't even think they try to sell it to us anymore, to be honest with you. I think they just do it, right? They tell us what they're going to do.
True.
They find somebody to blame for it in the process, but that's it.
True. No, you're exactly right in what you just said. So there was a report out that Rachel stuck in the notes here.
Oh, yeah.
World needs equivalent of pandemic lockdown every 2 years to make Paris carbon emission goals. What do you think of that, Steve?
It wouldn't work even with that. That is another bunk
yep.
sort of perspective. We're so far behind what the Paris goals are, except for the United States, by the way. We're the only ones who are in line with Paris, but there's the Chinese, none of those countries are ever going to make it, even if you shut it down
right.
with a lockdown. It's an insane idea, of course.
But don't you think that's kind of a hint at what they want to do? I mean, they've
loved this last year.
Oh, yes. I think they're delighted.
Yeah.
They're
agreed.
Well, this we'll just make this happen every couple of years. I mean, it's kind of scary to even read something like that to me that I'm like, what? Like, is this what?
Well, yeah, think about what you get when you do that, right? You don't get people driving, which obviously changes the net mm-hmm. use of oil and gasoline, but you also don't have people going to the hospital to get surgery. You have more people dying and, you know, more non-medical ways, so you're not using medical products, plastics. There's all kinds of things go on, but it's a pretty stark negative view of the world if that's the way you want to solve the problem.
Yes.
Well, but, you know, everybody listening, you know, Steve and Rachel as well, keep in mind that I believe there's a lot of folks on the left, especially the hardcore lefties, that look at humans as a scourge on the earth. And the reality is, if we all went back to living in the medieval caveman days, you know, they would really be delighted. They would be ecstatic, actually. They could care less. Even though in those years, you can go back and even look at some of the images from those times. We had worse pollution then than we do now, but that doesn't matter to them.
Right.
Well, yeah, and John, as you know from earlier this week in an email exchange, do you also make it okay to use a vaccine that inadvertently, mm-hmm. or not inadvertently, but by proteins, terminates pregnancies, you know, because of the protein that gets killed in the placenta? When you give them a vaccine, you just say, well, you know what, that's all right. We got too many people on the world, in the earth as
yep.
it is.
Yep.
Just see, but that's
the thing.
That's
really scary stuff.
It is scary.
It's a lack of value for humans. You know what I'm saying? But we see that all the way from... Well, the whole abortion world. I think, like, we're not placing value on life, like human life.
Yeah, and that, by the way, that is opposite, or how do I want to say this? All through the pandemic, all we've been hearing about is for your safety, for your safety, for your mm-hmm. safety. Yet we all know, because of the other side of this and what it's done economically and suicides and people not going in and getting preventative care, Steve, you just mentioned a moment ago, and so on. At the end of the day, this is about control, not mm-hmm. safety, because if they really cared about the safety of all of us, we would have never been locked down.
No, we wouldn't see, like you said, the suicide, the domestic abuse, the child abuse.
Right.
If it's really about people and you really care about
the economic abuse, let's go one step further.
Yeah.
You know, and let's face it, there are a lot of folks out there. Yes, I realize, Steve and Rachel, there are folks like Bezos who did really well during the pandemic and made some money. But let's face it, he's not the norm. The average person across the country, you know, they had some sort of negative effect financially when it comes to all of this. And I frankly, Steve, don't think we've seen the end of that yet.
Oh, I don't think we have either. And I think when you really look at the control, right, you're probably familiar with the Overton window. And what's basically happened to us in this past year is we've moved the Overton window to a place where people will accept being told you can't leave your house,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you should police your neighbors, you must wear a mask. Mm-hmm. There's no scientific evidence on a lot of that stuff that it's even valid. That doctors can't order drugs that will help you because the state decides they don't want you to have those drugs. All those things are moving what we accept to a place that's unacceptable for freedom and liberty.
And by the way, very, very scary. And I know we've talked all the way through the pandemic, Steve, about this, you and I and Rachel. And yeah, to me, that's the very scary part, or the scariest part about all of this is, to me, just the general acceptance mm-hmm. of things and what we've allowed to, you know, basically to have happen to us. I'm literally, if you'd have told me this a year ago, I would have called you a flat out liar. Even at the beginning of the pandemic, I would have called you a liar. Mm-hmm. And I was so wrong.
I would have been totally wrong.
I've been wrong all along, Steve. I never thought we'd accept what we've accepted.
No,
I know. I expected us to give up a month of our liberty in order to figure this thing out, but I didn't expect us to give up a year, and I didn't expect us to still have the situation we do in places like California and New York, and watching politicians completely skirt their own rules and then say it's okay, and they don't really care.
Yeah.
And yet we still keep those politicians. It's insane.
Well, and let's go one step further, Steve. We've also got, you know, folks like what's going on in Mississippi and Texas, where we now have just some of the general populace. I realize it's not everybody, but there's a vocal populace in those states talking about how idiotic it is for those governors to have opened things back up. I mean, these are people that I think want to wear a mask until they themselves go to the grave. I mean, to me, I just can't believe the suckers, I'm just going to call it what it is, the amount of suckers that are out there that have bought into all this nonsense. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of them.
Yeah. They want to be told what to do. It's bizarre. They're trading their freedom, like Franklin said. They're trading their freedom, their liberty, for a little bit of quote-unquote safety.
Which it's not even safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you see Colorado, where we have the guys up in Weld County who want to secede to Wyoming because they can't stand being under Jared Polis and his, you know, regime that doesn't really make any sense. And we have the fifth worst economy in the country under Polis,
and we went from number one, Steve. I want everybody to remember that, and I'm not lying when I say this. It wasn't that long ago, Steve. We had literally the number one economy in the entire United States of America. Am I right?
Wow.
Yeah, for several years, actually.
That's right.
It was always in the top two or three.
We were number one, folks.
It was almost completely, you know, employment was something that was, you know, never going to be a question here because we had rising employment all the time. And now it's completely different because of the way he's handled it.
And where are we at now? Where are we ranked now, Steve, just as a reminder?
I don't know. I think it's down in the 20s at the very least.
I thought it was even farther down than that. I thought we were in the 40s somewhere.
Yeah, it is. It's down near the bottom five. That's right. It is down in that.
I was
going to
say we're like 46th or 47th, I thought, something like that.
Jeez. I know.
I mean, guys, we have literally gone under one governor. We have gone from number one to the fifth worst in the country.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And by the way, he has no intention of opening things up anytime soon that I can see.
I just posted a great post on Facebook yesterday. It's by C.S. Lewis, but it's pretty long. But he essentially says, you know, of all the tyrannies that are you know, the most like terrifying are the ones that, you know, say, hey, we're doing this for your own good.
Right. Right.
It's so true. Like, yep. Hey, this is for your own betterment.
Well, that's what the Nazis did. Look how far they got.
Oh, yeah. Look at any dictator that takes over.
This is for your health. This is for your safety.
We got this.
It's not,
trust us. We'll take care of you. Mm.
Go ahead, Steve.
Plus, if you, in that particular case, you're supposed to also police your fellow man against a virus that they know very little about, that we know doesn't transmit like they think, that has a 99.5% survival rate, you know, from 60 to 40 and 99.97 under 40. Why is my fellow American tasking me to wear a mask if I don't want to?
Right.
Because
I
the
mean,
left and the news
kind
media
of propaganda do you use for that?
Well, because the left and the news media guys have instilled a single word: fear. They've literally put fear into the hearts and minds of many, many people, and because of that fear, they're now doing the things you just mentioned, Steve. It's one word only: fear.
Right. And I keep having more and more. Well, I just keep having more and more questions about this vaccine. I know you know more about it than I do, Steve. But I just had the thought, like, what happens when two people that were vaccinated make a baby? We have no idea, like, how it could impact the child, like, even years from now. Like, what's their gallbladder look like? What's their liver look like? What's their lung development? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're far out from knowing a lot about this. And I'm starting to have, the longer it goes, the more I'm like, what happens when this happens?
Make sure we remind everybody it's not a vaccine either.
Right.
To your point, you and Steve both, it's gene therapy, and that's a completely different situation than a regular vaccine. Right, Steve?
That's correct. I mean, the reason why people die from this vaccine in all probability is that gene therapy causes a cytokine storm, which is your body overreacting to something negative in it, and it shuts down its own organs and kills you, and then in the meantime, we've gotten that report this week that John and I both saw that showed a fair amount of miscarriages are occurring very close to when the vaccine is giving.
That's right.
And the thing about that is doctors predicted to us. John and I both know Dr. Kelly Victory, we know plenty of others, Simone Gold. They were predicting this 2 or 3 months ago that we would see this, and now here it is. So
Steve,
really,
we're not hearing about any of that anywhere in the regular news media, nor will we.
No.
Too dangerous for people to find out that they may not need to take or shouldn't take the vaccine unless they really have a good reason. Because, you know, Simone Gold will tell you, she's a very smart, you know, MD, PhD attorney who will tell you, if you're under the age of 60 and you don't have pre-existing conditions, don't take it.
Right. Yeah, you don't
fight
need
through
it.
Through the virus yourself.
You don't
got
need
a really
it.
Good chance of surviving, and you don't need it.
The other thing, Steve, that I really wish we'd have more information on, and I'm guessing that there is information out there, but they're not releasing this, and that would be, I'm so curious to know, and I'm thinking eventually we will, but you know, what's the genetic makeup of a particular individual that helps them fight the virus better than others? Because I've seen just through threads on Facebook and so on where I know this virus is harder on certain genes, certain families even, than
and
it is
types.
Others.
And to, blood types, I just read.
It's got to be in the mechanical makeup of the DNA of an individual as to how they fight this virus. So if we knew on the front side, you know, to me, Steve, what we ought to be doing is figuring out how do you as a person fit into what I just said and then make decisions on what to do moving forward.
Right.
So let me ask you a question, John. Do you think there's any possibility at all that we had a group of bureaucrats in healthcare and government who really wanted to sell us a vaccine? So what they did was convince us. They had to lock us down, put us through some of the severest, harshest economic conditions, personal living conditions possible to get us to accept a vaccine that may in fact be dangerous because it is an experimental vaccine that's gene therapy. Do you think that possibly occurred here?
Yes, I do. I gotta leave it at that. Steve, I appreciate it. No, good stuff. Yep. You're spot on. I cannot disagree with that. We'll talk more in the weeks ahead. Steve, thanks as always. I appreciate it. Frank Dunn Firearms is next. 720-770-7777. Or guys, find him at klzradio.com.
Learn how to shoot with confidence at Franktown Firearms. Head trainer Karen Murray goes above and beyond Colorado state requirements in every course, from basic to advanced to tactical, providing practical training for real-world scenarios. Although the state of Colorado does not require lane time for CCW courses, you will shoot on the range during every class at Franktown because Karen believes your defensive shooting skills require practice. Classes are always small enough that everyone gets the instruction they need. For both members and non-members, the price of your class includes gun rentals, and the team at Franktown Firearms always keeps ammo in stock for you to purchase. Bring your own gun or rent one for no extra charge so you can try before you buy. Members receive a discount on all classes. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
Bruce Simmons, of course, our reverse mortgage specialist. If you're sitting on a pile of equity, want to know how to use it, and you're over the age of 62, give Bruce a call today. Find him at klzradio.com or again, 303-467-7821.
You want to work with Bruce Simmons because you can trust him. Bruce is usually the only person you'll talk to throughout the entire process. He's the one who meets with you and your family to explain the loan. He's the person you call with questions. He answers his phone himself every time. He personally attends all of his own closings. He'll even stay in touch after the loan closes in case you have more questions. John Rush recommended Bruce Simmons to his own mom and dad because he wanted them to work with someone local. Someone who had specialized exclusively in reverse mortgages for more than 18 years. Someone who would guarantee their fees so the cost would never exceed what he quoted them at the beginning. Plus, John really likes and believes in Bruce. You already know you don't want to work with a national company because you prefer a more personal approach. So choose someone you'll enjoy working with and can trust completely. Find KLZ's Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
Pure 4 Chevrolet is up next, folks. They want to help you buy a car or truck. And as I look outside right now, some of you may be in the market for a car or a truck, new or used. They've got you taken care of either way. And there's lots of stories going on right now all over the internet about people and their car buying experiences, and in some cases being held hostage, literally, at dealerships. Guess what? You're not going to find that at Pure 4 Chevrolet. Go in there, buy a car. They'll take great care of you. Mention our name. There's always a better discount that way. 303-659-8311 or shop online at purefoychevrolet.com.
If you haven't walked through the Chevrolet showroom at Purifoy, it's a really fun experience. There's a guest book at the entrance and you look through there. It's actually become sort of a vacation destination for Chevrolet enthusiasts who've come from other countries just to walk around and look at these gorgeous cars and purchase a vehicle. You know, you think of Fort Lupton as a small town and it does have that small town personable feel, but the facilities at Purifoy Chevrolet are really stunning.
You know, I've had the chance to spend time with Rolly Purifoy and he's such a genuine man. He is willing to do
anything at that dealership. And in fact, we have seen him doing anything, washing windows, cleaning a floor, redoing the whole Corvette showroom. That's just who he is. He's a guy that is not afraid to get his hands dirty, to do the work. He's more of a servant leader than he is the leader that says, you got to go do this. So that makes me want to buy a car at Purefoy Chevrolet, and that should make you want to buy a car there too.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, folks, fast first hour. If you missed any of what we talked about, listen tonight between 6 and 7. Otherwise, you can catch it on our podcast as well. We'll be back, though. Rachel and I, hour 2 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.